Hey, y'all. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I greet you that way so that the vast multitude of people on YouTube will be able to know that we live in the South. Yeah, they're from all over the world. Right. And I greet you Merry Christmas because it's still Christmas and we celebrate the church calendar year. And so we get to have a second Sunday of Christmas, which I just love being able to do. And also, Happy New Year, because we do recognize that it is now 2022. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
You can? Okay. You're the only one. Okay. Let's see if we can get things going here. Should I start at the beginning? Maybe I should start at the beginning. No? Okay. The other thing is that on New Year's Eve, Friday, we celebrated my son Daniel's birthday. Yay. 26 years old. And, you know, it's hard to have a birthday on New Year's Eve. Everybody in the world celebrating your birthday.
It was all for you.
That's right. It was all for him.
It's also John Hickson's birthday.
Oh, wonderful. John. All right.
86.
All right. Well, that's a little difference in age. Right? Well, we had a nice celebration thanks to Amanda, his lovely wife, who put things together fabulously. And as you know, when people get together for birthdays, sometimes a few pictures come out of him growing up or him as a baby, you know, and these kind of things. You know, it wasn't that bad, but yeah. But sometimes those things can be embarrassing, right? And a few stories were told about him, although we didn't get into too many. But you know what? Daniel's one of my heroes. I want you to know that. And see, now I embarrassed him. Okay, because that's what we're supposed to do. Right? Parents like to tell stories about their children. And sometimes they're embarrassing, you know. But don't worry, I won't tell any more stories, okay? And you see, in the gospel that you just heard me read for today, we see that Jesus visits the temple at age 12, don't we? Now, Luke wrote this gospel. It's attributed to him. It's got his name on it right there, you know. And he probably learned all of these things from Mary, Jesus's mother, Theotokos. And I guess the question that I came up with here was, you know, this story in here, are they just recounting a funny story? Because it has its comic elements to it, you know. Where have you been? We've been searching all over for you. I mean, how many of us parents have ever said that to our kids? Where are you? I've been, you know, killing myself trying to find you. I was so afraid and worried. I mean, were they just talking about a funny story? Was Mary just musing about her son? Because again, parents like to, you know, reminisce about their children when they're little and to share those stories of love. Because it's obvious that she loves him. Mary loves Jesus. And it says that she treasured all these things in her heart, doesn't it? I mean, it's what parents do. We treasure our children. That's why we like to tell stories about them and carry pictures of them all over the house and all of those things. And Mary told Luke this story. You know, at some point, Luke felt that it was worth putting into his official account that he was putting together. You know, there are probably lots of other stories out there that didn't get into the gospel. In fact, it says that in several occasions, that there were so many, you know, things that happened that couldn't have been put in all the books in all the world. So not everything was recounted to us. But this story was considered to be important, okay, and worth writing down. Now, we know that Luke, this is our Bible study part, okay, was, he took his work seriously, okay, when he decided to put down an account. And of course, he says in Luke 1, verse 1, he says, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us from the beginning, eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out to you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. And this is one of those important accounts that they felt needed to be told to the rest of the world. Now, so far, Luke has given us a very detailed account of the coming of the Messiah. We've been, you know, reading out of the Gospel of Luke over the last few weeks. And, you know, he knows unique details that are not found in the other Gospels. I mean, this whole Christmas narrative is not found in the other Gospels. We have Matthew's versions, but they're not exactly the same. We have the experience of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the angels' messages that they had, the prophecies that were said, the meeting of Mary and Elizabeth, the prophecies that were said, of John's birth and of Jesus' birth, all because of Luke. Okay? And in between his birth and today's gospel, other things have happened. You know, we skipped right over to age 12 here. But you know what? He was circumcised. He was named Jesus, very important thing. He was presented in the temple at he and Mary's purification. Simeon and Anna came out and prophesied over him. And finally, we come to this story, jumping ahead 12 years. So this just kind of give you that timeline going along, okay? There are other things that happen in there. You're going to hear about those in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, we've all heard, and you've been around, you've probably heard sermons about this passage before. We've all heard different explanations as to how he could have been left behind, right? You know, I mean, he was 12 years old, but 12 years old was pretty old back in those days, okay? And we think, oh my gosh, how could they have done that? 3 days? You know, I mean, actually, it was just one day, but then they went back and searched for him for 3 days. And you've heard stories explaining it, saying that, well, people traveled in large groups and everybody just, all the kids ran around. So we didn't know, oh, it looks like about 12 out there. I guess we're okay. You know, there's that kind of thing. Or we can say there's one explanation that says, well, the women started the journey earlier in the day and the men started later because they were faster and they would catch up to the women. You know, that's kind of silly. I don't know if I believe that. For one thing, you know, people tend to go in groups because there wasn't a police force out there to protect them. Okay. So anyway, I don't buy that one. But you know what? It doesn't matter because the important fact here is that he was found in the temple talking with the great rabbis of the time, the doctors of Judaism, if you want to call them, the learned scholars, the most learned scholars, because where else would they be but in the temple? That's what's important. And he wasn't among them doing that as other 12-year-olds would be. Other 12-year-olds would be catechumens. You know, they would be students. They would be studying, sitting at the feet of the teachers and learning. But Jesus wasn't doing that. He was conversing with them as one of them. They were having a back and forth discussion, questions and answers and questions and answers. And it says everyone was very impressed with him, right? So we know all of that. Now, Mary and Joseph find him there and they're astonished, right? And when Mary asked him the question, as a good Jewish mother would say, where have you been? We've been searching all over for you. These are the first recorded words of Jesus. He says, yeah, the first ones that were ever written down. There's nothing earlier than this. Why were you looking for me? I had to be in my Father's house. Or some versions say, I must be about my Father's work. And this is important. This is very important. I must be about my Father's work or business. I must. You know, that word must is very important there. Obviously, it's an imperative kind of word, right? The Greek word is die. It's pronounced die, but it's spelled D-E-I. But we say die. Okay, so that's how you pronounce it. Comes from the root word deo, which means to bind. Okay. And die is translated as must or necessary or needed or ought or have to or behoved, if you like that, if you're King James. But it means must. I have to. I don't know what else I can say about that. It's like what is used in other parts of the Bible, obviously, in other parts of the New Testament, especially Gospels. Luke 24:44, he says, all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. They are bound to be fulfilled. It's imperative that they are fulfilled, okay? And this is what he tells them at age 12. I must be about my Father's business. And he said the same thing there, and he says the same thing in Luke 24:44, after he is resurrected. I must be about my Father's work. See, Jesus is telling us that his work, his Father's work, is not optional. It's not optional. It must be done. It's necessary. It's needed. And Jesus is bound to that work. There is no alternative. Okay? You understand how important this is? Okay, have I gotten that across to you, maybe? Jesus must be about his Father's work. And yet, what does he do? He returns with his parents and is obedient to them.
Returns with his parents.
Okay. Jesus could have dazzled them all right there and then. In fact, he was, wasn't he? He could have tried to reform the rabbis, the doctors of Judaism. He could have begun his life's teaching right there and then. He could have corrected the errors of the Mishnah and the factions of Pharisees and Sadducees right then and there. It could have all started right then. But the timing wasn't right. The timing wasn't right for that. He's only 12 years old, and the rabbis would not have accepted this. A 12-year-old telling us these things? No way. Not from a boy. Not even, I mean, he hasn't even been bar mitzvahed yet. It just wouldn't have worked. It wasn't the right time, you see. Jesus tells us that in other places in the gospel, you know, the wedding at Cana, he says, my time has not yet come. Why are you talking to me, woman? Jesus went home to Nazareth with his parents because of obedience. But less because of obedience and more because of the timing. You know, a lot of people will use this example of the incredible, perfect obedience of Jesus and how we are to be obedient as well at taking his example for that. But this story is not about obedience. It's about timing. Perfect timing. God has perfect timing, doesn't he? I mean, we know God has perfect timing, right? Everyone knows that God has perfect timing, correct? Things like Ecclesiastes 3:1, there's an appointed time for everything. There's a time for every event under heaven. 2 Peter, but we do not know, or but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 like one. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Galatians 4, you know, when in the fullness of time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. He has perfect timing, and things are done in perfect synchronization. His plan is laid out exactly right to save us all. Hallelujah. He has perfect timing. It's a meticulous plan that required the Father to send his son to be a human, to submit to everything that includes being a human, except sin. To follow the law of Moses, to include circumcision, to including presentation in the temple, you know, and just like all the other children who are born in sin, you know, and without any special treatment to him, they took him to the temple silently, you know, and there was probably a crowd of other children that were presented as well. Nothing special, nothing unusual. He was presented to his heavenly father by an earthly temple by a human priest. Here he is, the great high priest, being presented by a human. It sounds ironic, doesn't it? But you know what happens every Sunday, every time we celebrate Eucharist here, a human priest presents him once again. Sort of a foreshadowing, I guess you could say. He submitted to being a helpless baby, totally dependent on earthly parents. He submitted to his parents at age 12 in this story, even though he could have taken the world by storm right then. Oh, yeah. But you see, the adult Jesus needed Elijah to come first. He needed baptism. He needed, again, by sinful man, baptism. He needed temptation in the desert. He needed to walk and talk for 3 years with other people, growing disciples who would follow him even after he ascended into heaven. No, the time wasn't right. It's about timing, and Jesus knew this. He must be about his father's business. And right then, the business was waiting. Being a boy and learning carpentry. So back to my original question. Did Luke share this story just because it was a cute story? I mean, because Mary was proud of her son, because she treasured him? Well, yes and no, I think. I think it's a great picture into the human side of Jesus, yet still being perfect. But it has a message with it as well, too. I mean, Luke could have left it out, but he included it because of the lesson here. And many are going to preach today about Jesus' perfect obedience, but that's not it. It's his perfect timing. That's what it's about. It's about appointed time. It's about the patience of God. It's about fulfilling everything in his time of perfection. God has perfect timing, and Jesus is God. And even though we glimpse his divine nature in this incident here, we also see Jesus pause and wait for the perfect moment, even if it takes 18 years. And it does. We see Jesus willingly submit to following every element of an earthly existence, from being born a poor, helpless baby to obeying the law of Moses, to obeying his parents, to putting up with a loving mother telling embarrassing stories about her little boy. You see, Mary may have told this story to Luke because she was a loving mother and wanted to share this story, and it made her smile. But either she or someone else saw the lesson in it. Jesus is obedient to his father. Obedient even unto death, it says. Jesus knew perfect timing, and he wouldn't make an error of running ahead of his father, trying to do it all himself in his own power. And out of this, we learn to trust God, knowing that that set of events and his perfect timing applies to us too. To be patient ourselves because we trust him. To not run ahead of God, you've heard that before, not to make it happen without him, to believe that he knows exactly what he's doing. You got it covered. We are fine. To know that his perfect plan includes each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Jesus was bound to his father's work at his birth, at age 12, at his trial before Pilate, at his crucifixion, at his death, and his wonderful resurrection. And finally, God's work is not optional for Jesus. So I ask you, is it optional for you? Are you willing to wait for God and follow his lead in the perfect time? Are you willing to be patient and see him do it? Are you willing to believe and trust in him? Here's a wonderful story that can help you with that. We must be about our Father's work too. Amen.